Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Burt Show.
Are men too soft now? Are men too soft? 1-855-BURT-SHOW. So as I was eavesdropping on a conversation when I was in Toronto a couple of weeks ago, there was a table of about five women, all in their mid-20s, about your age, Abby, all kind of similarly complaining about dudes being too soft now, right? That they can't make decisions. You know, they end up on a date. Where do you want to go? Where do you want to go? No, where do you want to go? No, where do you want to go? Guys are too sensitive now, too insecure. One said something about not taking charge at all. And all of them, we sort of got in this conversation when we were in Dallas also. All of them agreed that, and maybe it's just because they're all very similar because they're all friends. They were all like sort of complaining about guys just being a little bit too soft now. So I'm curious, for women, was this an anomaly of a group that I was eavesdropping on, or as a general rule, do mid-20s that are dating, or even your 30s and you're dating now, do you just kind of feel like dudes are just soft now? 1-855-BURT-SHOW.
Well, that's how a lot of my friends feel, and it's hard to not feel that way when you're on, for example, a dating app like Hinge, and you're kind of really just asking for the bare minimum of, hey, can you just make the first move and get the conversation started? And I was actually, you know, kind of going back through my Hinge when I was looking for voice prompts for our segment on Hinge to like roast them on the internet. But, and I was looking through all these guys that I had matched with, and as a principal, I will match with them back, but I don't make the first move. And there's all these, you know, normal, great guys who can't even send me a first message because maybe they're afraid of rejection or maybe they're just lazy. And I think that's something that you notice online, but then you also start to notice patterns like that in real life too. Like, I have friends who have been dating guys for a year and they won't say that they're dating. They're just exclusive. It's bizarre.
Hmm. Ladies, you want to get in on this? 1-855-BURT-SHOW. I'm curious if, I think guys are confused now. I think that there's been such an evolution, you know, in a very positive way for women.
Especially post hashtag Me Too movement.
Yeah, I mean, we've
just trying to be respectful of women and have equal conversations. Mm-hmm. So instead of being domineering or controlling, you try to take a step back, and now that's being perceived as soft.
I think that might be some of it. That could be, yeah.
A layer, maybe?
Like a toned down aggression. I feel like a lot of men kind of used to be a lot more aggressive at approaching women and at initiating things with women. Whereas now, I think a lot of men think twice before they use that same type of aggression.
Yeah, I don't know. 1-855-BURT-SHOW. The word aggression doesn't feel right to me, because I don't think we're talking about aggressive. I just think that it sounded, in this group of women, they just wanted dudes to be assertive. And for them, not being assertive felt soft.
Well, being assertive is sexy.
From what I've seen online, because Lord knows I'm not in the dating game, I really feel for men, because it has to be a very confusing time right now, because you are recalibrating and relearning almost how, that sounds condescending and I really don't mean it to be, but how to interact with women based off feedback you're hearing from women on social media, on TikTok and everywhere. And I really appreciate that. And I think this table of women calling men soft, I actually think it is a weird backhanded compliment, because I think it shows that men are stopping and being like, all right, what do women want? How do they want to be interacted with? Let me figure it out. And I think it's this transitional phase, and I think we'll start to see some of this assertiveness come back, because I think men are just trying to figure out the middle ground and how to act. And I really appreciate the thought being put into it. And I think you're just finding your bearings.
Now, do you feel like they're soft or they're lazy? Because I think those are two different things.
I think it's kind of a mix of both, honestly. I think sometimes that the fear of what a woman will think if they feel like it's going to be too aggressive, I think sometimes that's used as a cop-out. You know, it's an excuse to be comfortable, essentially. Like, if you're out at a bar and you see me across from it and you're thinking, well, I would like to approach that girl. She looks like normal and mentally stable. And you're thinking, well, no, if I approach her, she might think that she might be weirded out that I'm coming on to her. I think they're misplacing insecurities and using that as an excuse to not approach women.
Here's caller Abby. Hey, Abby, thank you for calling the Burt Show. Hi.
Hey, yes. I agree with a lot of what she just said. Being 25 and being kind of in that dating game at the time, I've found a very good guy now. But before then, it just seemed like guys were very indecisive, didn't really make decisions. It was just kind of like, well, whatever you want to do, or if you just want to come hang out. And I agree. It's just kind of there. More on the standoffish side, not really knowing how to make decisions.
I think dudes are nervous to assume that they should be the one making decisions now, because the message is, I think, you know, and here I am speaking for all men, because that's what I do. I think the messages are sort of mixed now, and because I think men are interpreting like, hey, this is a time of equality or getting closer to equality, that I'm not going to make plans. I'm going to ask her what she wants to do. And it sounded to me like on this table, it was like, just do it. Like, I want to vote in this thing. Just do it, man.
Stop second guessing yourself. I think a lot of the men second guess themselves. Like, I know what Abby is saying about approaching with my friends that are still in the dating game. When I'm out, I have to encourage them to approach a woman. They won't just do it. Like, I think she's attractive, but you don't want to get rejected, like you said, or you don't want to seem aggressive, because a lot of times you feel like women don't go out for that. You don't go out to be hit on all the time. So it's like, what do you do in that situation? I think there is a lot of confusion on how men are supposed to react in those situations.
Here's Caitlin. Good morning, Caitlin. Thanks for joining the convo. What's up?
Good morning. I just wanted to say that I'm coming out of a 4-year relationship. And I'm getting back into the dating scene, and what I'm seeing is that it's not necessarily that guys are getting soft, but I feel like society as a whole is changing in the reversal of, I would say, lack of better term, a gender role.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of the men being the one to take charge and paying and making sure that everything is all set, now there's woman that they have to now take charge and be set. And it's the same expectations that women once had on men, but it's reversed.
My friend who's recently divorced and she's back in the dating game, and she's not in her 20s, she's older, but she says what she has noticed about the guys that she's meeting on dating apps is that they're very insecure and needy.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Hey, Nikki, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Thank you for calling. What's up?
Thank you. I just want to say I definitely feel like the guys today are a little bit soft. I've had guys say they want to be like passenger princesses and stuff, and I'm like, but baby, you're the driver. So if you want to lead, you have to show me that you're capable of leading, and I'll be willing to follow. They say they want a traditional woman, but are you a traditional man? As simple as that.
So for years, I think that men were driving, and then I think the messages now are like, hey, ask me if you want me to drive or not. So now guys are asking, and what you're saying is, just drive.
Just drive. Like, no, don't ask me. I don't want to do it. You need to lead me, and I'll just follow. Like, simple.
So we got into this conversation in Dallas about the masculine and feminine. So there are a bunch of books out there of, like, getting into your gender roles now, and a man should lead, a man should schedule, allowing a woman to naturally, this is according to the book that I'm listening to, get into her feminine, right? So it's on the guy to be this sort of leader of the family. And in that way, you can achieve polarity. I don't agree with it. I'm just listening to it.
It's a very patriarchal stance, which that's fine. There's nothing wrong like that. Just call her. If she wants the man to lead the family and her to follow, literally zero things wrong. I just think you do need to be in a relationship where you need to ask, because if you're matched up with a woman like who doesn't want that, well, then now you've got problems, and that's where they'll be like, stop being so aggressive or whatever. And so I think we really have to, it's hard. We always blanket statement, I think, men and women. And I think we're at a point where we're like, every one woman and every one man is so different, are looking for different things. There is no one size fits all solution.
I think that speaks volumes that my feminine energy is based on a man's masculinity. Like, I don't feel like my feminine energy should be determined by a man.
Yeah, I'm only halfway through it, so I don't even know if I represented it right. Hey, Tam, good morning. You're on The Bird Show. Hi.
Hi, good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
I think it's like a combination of laziness, insecurity, and they're just soft because they don't have to work for us women as much anymore. I mean, what's the first thing we do? Everybody goes on social media. You're already seeing what you're getting. You're putting everything out there. What is it to work for? If I'm already seeing what I'm getting and I'm seeing everything that's around me, why do I have to work for you if you're going to give it away to everybody else? I think it's a value of what we put out with each other is vice versa. The roles are all reversed. Y'all, we're putting out there all of our business and everything, and there's no mystery to it.
You agree with that, Abby?
Yes, to an extent, for sure. When it comes to like the masculine and feminine, I think there's some truth to it, but I'm also a conventionally traditional feminine woman, and not, again, like Cassie said, not everyone's looking for that. I just happen to be looking for a man who is in the driver's seat. So if you are out there, hit me up in 6 months when I'm ready to date again.
You need to have a license to date, Abby. There you go.
The Bird Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's The Bird Show's entertainment buzz.
Ooh, Kiki Palmer got back at her ex-boyfriend so good. So Kiki Palmer, she's co-starring in this new music video with Usher. And the whole backstory behind this is amazing. So we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Kiki Palmer was looking fine at an Usher concert. She was up there dancing. She had this tight little bodysuit on with a sheer mesh overlay. Girl was looking amazing. And her boyfriend at the time decided, you know what? I'm going to say something totally uncontroversial on the internet and comment on what my woman is wearing on Twitter. And, you know, what could go wrong? So on Twitter, and he since deleted tweet, he said, "It's the outfit, though. You a mom." So he's the father of her son that they share together. Oof. And of course, the internet was like, hey, maybe don't do that. And instead of going back and saying, you know what? I was emotional, shouldn't have said that, should have handled that privately. He decided to double down on this tweet. And he said, "We live in a generation where a man of the family doesn't want the wife and mother of his kids to showcase booty cheeks to please others. And he gets told how much of a hater he is. This is my family and my representation. I have standards and morals to what I believe. I rest my case."
What do you think of that, Ma?
The first part of this story? With him?
All of it.
Well, I think the first part, baby daddy was wrong. Her child's father, I don't think he should have said that. And he got dragged. He got dragged for about 3 days from Black Twitter, and deservingly so. But I think Kiki Palmer now striking back by being the cover art and the video girl for Usher to promote a song called Boyfriend, where literally they used Usher's voice to say, "I heard your boyfriend is looking for me," is a bit too much.
Are they still together?
No, they broke up. Yeah, so now we know that they are not together. And to backtrack a little bit on what the baby daddy did, look, you can have your morals. You can believe what you want to believe. Fully support that. I just don't think you should shame her on Twitter for it. Nah. I think you got her number. You know what I mean? Like you share a kid together, text her.
The downfall of a relationship might be you calling your significant other out on a social media platform rather than having a conversation with them.
So I'm just curious for a little context here. Were they still seeing each other, or did they have child yet they weren't still dating at the time?
No, still together while this is all happening. Okay. All of this, apparently reports are coming out that when he posted this on Twitter, she broke up with him like immediately. But we're just now getting this news. And it's only confirmed by the fact that she's co-starring in this music video with Usher, which is very funny considering all this went down because she was at an Usher concert. And there's this moment in the music video where she throws a little shade, and she wasn't mean. All she said was, they're like clubbing, they're having a good time, they're dancing, and then it cuts to a scene where she's like waking up in bed, and she goes, "I was so tired."
And I'm a mother, after all. And then she looks at the and then she looks at the camera and then she gives us a little wink, which I just think is so snarky. Oh, and so I love this woman. I think it was the best way to say, hey, like what he did was so wrong. But like, look at me. I'm still looking good. I'm in an Usher video. You know,
I'm here for it. Yeah. It's petty, but I'm here for it.
I think it would have been better if she was actually in the song. Like if you were featured on the song, it would have made a little more sense to me. But to just get him back by doing the scene and the promo to help Usher sell this song. I get it. Like it got people talking. It went viral. I get it. It's just too petty for me.
You don't think she got paid for that?
I would hope so.
I was going to say.
I would imagine so.
Because that's what I've noticed about the whole Scandoval and Ariana Maddox. Like, get your bag, honey. Like, you know, he did something stupid. You should be able to capitalize on it.
Amen. Not only do I support women's rights, I support their wrongs as well.
What happened in two wrongs don't make a right.
I love this. I know it's petty, but I love it.
Okay, so Ed Sheeran, there's a lot of talk about who's going to be the next Super Bowl halftime performer. And Ed Sheeran says it ain't going to be him. He doesn't want it. So he doesn't think he's the right fit for this type of performance. Rumors are going around about who it's going to be. Apparently, Taylor Swift just shut it down, which is crazy. I mean, she's on tour, so she doesn't really have time for this. But Ed Sheeran says, you know, I just don't have enough pizzazz to take on that type of performance by myself.
I applaud his self-awareness. Because when I think Super Bowl halftime show, I don't think Ed Sheeran.
No, but I will say this, that I've said this before. When I went to the Ed Sheeran show, I thought he was just going to sit there on a bar stool doing his little thing. That dude works his ass off. It's a really great show. This would be too big for him, though, I think. Well, who was it the last one where we were saying, like,
Rihanna was the last one,
right? And we were all kind of bummed by it.
Because she was pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't doing a lot of moving and dancing.
Well, it's hard to follow up Rihanna, and she still crushed it. But Ed, I think he can handle it. He has one of the highest grossing tours of all time. I think if you can handle that, you can handle the Super Bowl. The very popular Barbie movies finally come into streaming services. I'll tell you when and where you can watch it on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
If I offend somebody accidentally, then I should apologize.
Yeah.
And according to Kristen, I mistakenly offended somebody at our convention over the weekend. And it's in my head. And
still?
I wonder I should just hit her up and go, hey, I'm sorry I said that. Because that really was not my intent at all.
I know it wasn't your intent at all. But you also have to remember this is coming from me. And I very much overthink things. But as soon as you said it, I was like, that was rude.
So there is a female personality working in Portland. And we were talking about her a couple of weeks ago because she is the voice of AI for a radio station in Portland?
Sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yeah.
So when she's not doing her shift as herself, Ashley, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If I got her name wrong, it's double offensive. Ashley, when she's not doing it as a personality, her AI, Ashley, is doing a shift now also.
Mm-hmm.
Within our industry, this was like a really big deal. Like people are freaking out.
Every year, our boot camp conference, morning show conference, has like a theme that everybody's hyper-focused on. I mean, one year, it was literally all about social media. And then this year, it was all about AI. Like it came up in every single panel.
Totally and completely freaked out.
Because we are all freaking out that we are going to lose our jobs. And we have all these people saying, no, talent is important. We love talent. Even though they gave everybody pay cuts and took away their bonuses.
Kristen, just as a sidebar, bravo to you for being on your panel and saying, hey,
thank you.
Managers, don't tell us you love us and respect us. Show us. Huge applause for everybody. Right. Good for you. Anyway, so we run into Ashley, the real Ashley, not the AI Ashley, who used to actually work at this radio station.
That we are currently sitting in right now.
That we are currently sitting in right now. Was she the promotions department? What
no,
was she doing
she
here?
Was on air.
She was on air. She was one studio over.
Okay, that's how completely sequestered I am from the rest of the staff, right? So when we were all talking to her as a group, I said, oh my God, I had forgotten that you worked over at Q. And to that, Kristen says that's a very offensive thing to say to somebody.
I did say it was very offensive. We got into our rideshare to go to our next location. And we were all in the hotel bar, and like a group of us were already talking to her because we obviously remembered her because we worked for the same station, just a different day part. And then Bert was like, oh, I forgot you even worked at our station.
I didn't say it like that. It's all in the delivery. I didn't even remember you. I said, I had forgotten you worked at the radio
station.
Your
existence was so inconsequential to me that I forgot you existed.
So we get into the lift and I'm like, what is wrong with you? And he's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, you basically told somebody who was a fellow colleague of ours that you didn't even remember their existence at the radio station. And I'm like, do you realize how rude that is? Like, oh, I didn't even remember we worked together because
we didn't
that's
work
how
together.
Little I thought of you. Yes, we did.
We didn't work together. She worked at a different shift later on. I don't even know that we had much interaction whatsoever. I don't even know that I actually met her here at the radio station.
How long does she work here?
Two days. No, she did not. At least a year.
Don't ask me. Wow. I don't know that I ever met her.
Bert, don't feel bad. I don't remember her at all.
Wow.
Yes.
I mean, it's only offensive if her goal was to make a memorable impact.
I thought I would see her face there and go, oh, yeah, I remember you. And it was like, I don't know you from Adam.
Good. She's going to listen to this and be pissed at both of us now.
I remember her, and she's very talented.
Very quite, but I don't need to, like, text her. No. I can't text her because I don't have her number.
And you don't remember her name.
And barely remembered her name. But I don't need to like email her and go, hey, I'm sorry if I said something offensive.
No, you don't. Because
okay, the way you made it sound in the Uber was just like, I had called her mom a slut.
No. In the moment at a radio conference, because we have a very small industry. Everybody knows everybody. Everybody has practically worked with the same people at some point in time, right? Because it's a very niche industry, and we should feel very privileged and lucky that we mm-hmm. get to do what we get to do, because so few people get to do it. So when you come across a peer that you worked with for over a year and you're like, I don't even remember you at the station, it just kind of says your contributions were so null and void that I didn't even bother to catalog you in my brain as having worked with you.
I remember people from 20 years ago that I worked with for 6 months. I still have no idea who she is.
Right, that's enough.
There are people in this building right now that I don't know that I work with.
I know you can trust. Oh, Abby, the best. This was years ago. For some reason.
This doesn't have to be a pile on. This could, we could be done right now.
No, absolutely not. This was BM before Mo, and this is BA before Abby.
BM, bowel movement?
Before Mo. Hey, I get badass. So we had a revolving door of GMs for a while, right? And we had just gotten a new GM, and we all knew who he was. So we brought four random older white dudes into the studio and told Bert, who's the GM?
Wow.
Y'all have to know, the GM is like the boss man around mm-hmm. here too. So this wasn't like some coworker or somebody in sales. Like, this was a very important person for the cluster.
For the cluster. Oversees all of the radio station. Oversees programming and sales and marketing and promotions. We brought these four guys in. Shocker. It was an older white dude, because that typically is who is in the upper management roles of radio companies. And Bert had to pick the GM, and he got it wrong.
I mean, to my credit, we were literally going through general managers every month. I just gave up on even like shaking their hands at one point. I'm like, dude, you're only going to be here 4 weeks.
And Bert was right. I'm not a huge fan of spicy foods, but I do like a bit of spice in other areas of my life. Reality TV fights make it spicy. My margaritas make them very spicy. And when it comes to the spice cabinet you keep beside your bed, you gotta have a wide variety of spices to keep things heated up. If you've been looking for some more flavor to add to your life behind closed doors, Adam and Eve can help you bring the heat with some fun new items to turn up the temp between you and someone else, or if it's a single girl summer, there's plenty of options for those of you riding solo this year. Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item, and they'll include free shipping and rush processing so you can spice things up ASAP. And you don't gotta worry about your neighbors noticing your delivery. Adam and Eve ships things out in discreet packaging, so you and Deborah down the street don't have to make awkward eye contact when you get your mail. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item and select, just enter offer code Abby at checkout. That's ABBY at adamandeve.com. This exclusive offer is specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code Abby to get your discount. Code Abby.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. all the must not take yourself too seriously and 6-1 since that matters. And what do I even say other than hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all new Bumble with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
You're on The Burt Show.
Hi, Kristen. So what is the debate here about going on your own, sequestered on your own, and your hubby not digging this idea too much?
All right. So a little something to chew on. If your significant other with your young child, we'll say he's 2.5.
So around the same age as Jimmy,
maybe.
Your child.
Yes.
Okay.
So if your significant other and your toddler
named Shimmy
are going on a weekend excursion, just the two of you, and you're going to the mountains and you're going to a cabin, would you be okay with them going by themselves with nobody else, just them and the toddler?
Well, we need some history here.
He's still alive. Yeah, this sounds like the setup of the next Saw movie.
No, okay. What would happen if I took Shimmy to the mountains by myself with just me and a machete and my toddler? Exactly. So we, when we were in Dallas for our morning show boot camp, Bart watched Jimmy while Mama was working, and to give him a break when we came back, I was going to take Jimmy to a cabin in the mountains for 48 hours, just the two of us, give Bart some downtime, work on some stuff around the house, and so he wouldn't have to take care of his two children. So I was planning this this cabin trip, and it's a cabin it has a little creek in the back. You know, it's not a river. It's not a creek. It's more of a creek. And it's an isolated area. So, you know, your Wi-Fi is not going to be all that great. And it was just going to be Jimmy and me.
It's pretty much the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Isolated.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And Bart was like, I would prefer you go with somebody else. And I was like, excuse me? And he goes, what if you fall and hit your head? And I was like, what if I that, like, that literally was his concern.
Why
he's
was
like,
that his first thought?
I don't know. And I am not a clumsy person, people.
What if you fall into my golf club against your head?
Yeah. He's like, what if you fall and hit your head? And so he was genuinely concerned about our safety. And he was adamant that if we were to do this, that somebody else accompany us.
So you would need another couple to babysit you taking care of your child.
Apparently. I mean, that's one way to take it. Or he's just being, my husband is overly cautious.
Well, can't this happen? I mean, do you ever watch Jimmy alone in your own house?
Yes, all the time.
Well, what happens if you hit your head?
Well, but he's going to be home within a certain time. You know what I mean? Like, he would be. So
you bled out by the time he got there.
But he's not. I don't think he's really worried about me more so than Jimmy.
The dogs ate you. You hit your head. The dogs ate you.
My dogs would not eat me.
Oh, I've never seen
they would. Yeah. The older one's been looking for a reason.
I got it. You could just get one of those old people necklaces when you
a
fall.
A life alert?
Yes. If you fall down, they'll call you even in the woods.
He was genuinely concerned. And so another mom friend of mine who has a son the similar age, we ended up going to the cabin together, had a fabulous time. Oh, the kids had a great time. But he genuinely was like not comfortable with me going to a cabin by myself with our son in case something happened to me.
So I know the woman that you went with, and I think it's double the risk.
I know.
I think that she'd be clumsy enough to accidentally push you over, hit your head, and then in a panic, she hit her head, leaving both of your kids there by themselves.
Yeah, that tracks, actually.
Should I be, like, so while I wanted to be offended, I wasn't offended because I know it was coming from a place of concern and love, and I know my husband is like, he is, like I said, overly cautious, very protective.
I would have been incensed until a couple of weeks ago, I broke my ankles just gently stepping off a playground stair. And thank God Chad was there, but there was like a field and, you know, a little bit away from the car. And I went down and I could not walk on it without like major support. And I was sitting here, I was thinking, what would I have done if I were here with my 18-month-old and my 3-year-old and this happened? And there were other parents I probably could have pulled and gotten help to the car. But I had to go to urgent care and I was sitting here thinking, like, what if this happens when I'm alone with the kids? So on the off chance, I actually agree with Bart. And I don't, for me, it wouldn't be that you're not capable. It would be the what if there's no fail safes in place. If something happens to you, what's going to happen to the kid? And there's no redundancies or backups.
Y'all make me feel so reckless. I wouldn't have thought twice about it. I would have said, no, I really wouldn't have. I'd have been like, that could be a freakish thing that can happen at any particular time. I mean, you could be in your car and get in an accident. It's just you and Jimmy. I just feel like it's a freak thing. I wouldn't think twice about it.
I honestly think ever since having Jimmy, his intrusive thoughts, I think he has the postpartum anxiety. I did not get that.
I could see that. I think if Shimmy, because it's not Jimmy, right, now, right, Shimmy. Right, right, right. If Shimmy were like 5 and could feed himself and make phone calls or call 911, then I would be like, go do your thing. But I think when they're that young and they can't fend for themselves.
He literally would have been on the ground going, gummy bears, gummy bears.
Meanwhile, you bleeding out.
Yeah, he's just up here going, gummy bears.
As a sidebar here on these intrusion thought things, what is the thing that you did in the airport that was the intrusive thought?
Oh, my intrusive
she's so,
thought?
Oh, yeah. She's so random.
We were walking past one of those breastfeeding pods,
that's right.
And I wanted to open the door and scream, show me them.
That's weird, oh, man.
I don't know.
You're on The Burt Show.
We call it Free Therapy Thursday, and Miranda Campbell is here. Yes, she's a licensed therapist. We just give advice out. We have absolutely no degrees whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Miranda actually knows what she's talking about. Hello.
Hi.
How are you today?
You know, I'm doing well.
Miranda was in the other studio, and she's like, all right, I'll be in a second to bring the show down.
All right, we pull therapy out of our butt. You pull it out of your butt, but you have a license to do so.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, what do we got this week?
All right, so the email that we have received says, Dear Burt Show, my mother, brother, and I have all had a tumultuous history with my father. He was in and out of our lives for years, gave him opportunities to be the father I deserve, but he disappointed me time and time again. I stopped speaking to my dad about 10 years ago after he broke my mother's heart and disappointed my brother again. After my brother became a father, he reconnected with our dad and has been rebuilding their relationship for the past 2 years. I personally wasn't ready to forgive, so I kept my distance. About 2 weeks ago, my brother and my dad went for a motorcycle ride. On their way back home, my dad had a horrific accident. Rushed to the hospital, been in a coma ever since. He has been pronounced brain dead with no hope for recovery. My brother took it hard, is blaming himself. Getting that call shook me to my core. I realized I needed to be there for him and my brother. Went to the hospital the next day to visit my dad, and I've been every day since. I realized that even though I was hurt by my dad's actions, I never once hated him, and I never stopped loving him. I just needed time to heal. I guess I thought I had more time. I'm doing everything I can to spend as much time with him as possible. The biggest hurt for me is that he never got to meet my son. I can never give my son the memories with his grandpa, and I have to live with that. I know I made the right decisions for myself, but it's really hard not to regret what I've missed. So I'm just trying to do everything I can to be here now. I visit every day, hold his hand, pray, tell him how much I love him. Even if he can't hear me, even if he doesn't know I'm there, I feel better knowing that I'm showing up for him. This is how I'm processing and healing, and I believe this will help me find some sort of closure. For some reason, this is pushing my brother away, and I don't know what to do. He's so angry. It seems like he doesn't want me to have anything to do with my dad, to make any decisions regarding his care, to have any items he might have left behind, or to even help plan the funeral. Now, I don't know what he's throwing away or keeping of my dad's, and I'm devastated. I'm genuinely worried that this will push my brother and I to a place where we can never recover. I'm already dealing with my own grief. I don't know how to get him to understand that he's my dad too, and I loved him too. I need advice. Is the way that I am processing this grief normal? Do I have to forfeit the closure with my dad in order to let my brother heal? Is that the right thing to do? Will I regret it either way? My family has decided to take my dad off life support in 2 days. I'm so worried that once this happens, my brother will spiral and truly shut down. I just need some sort of advice from people who have experienced loss and came out of it okay. Thank you.
well,
to bring
nice
some
light.
Levity yeah. to the situation. Kristen, I almost had one of those outbursts that you've been talking about.
The intrusive thoughts?
Yes. Uh-huh. When she said, am I like doing this right? And I'm like, no. And so I'm like, but I held it back, but now I shared it. So yeah.
It feels good to share it though, doesn't it?
It does. It's so cathartic. Uh-huh. But no, you are doing the best you can with what you have. You made choices based on the information you had at that moment, and you can't fault yourself for that. So for entertainment purposes, let's speculate. Your brother, his anger may be coming from the fact that he felt he couldn't protect his dad on the bike. And so now he's trying to protect him. And, you know, you forfeiting your grief process for your brother, I think it would be a bad idea. Because imagine, like, if you stayed away, your brother could then come back and say, oh, you can't put your issues to the side. You know, he's about to die. You know, so, like, you have to do what you need to do. You're not responsible for how your brother grieves. I mean, as long as you're not out there maliciously trying to thwart his process, you have to do you, boo. And, like, don't put pressure on yourself to, like, wrap this up in a pretty bow right now. It may not look like the way you want it to, but it doesn't mean that you can't get all the healing you need.
Something I learned through like my grief process is there's different types of grief and there can be complicated grief. Mm-hmm. So when you have, like, I was very fortunate to have a loving relationship with my dad. But those that may have been estranged or have, you know, complicated relationships with parents who pass will have complicated grief. And it doesn't mean you don't deserve the right to grieve. Mm-hmm. I think some people think, oh, well, just because, like, you all didn't talk, so why do you care? I feel like that's such a misconception of how grief works. And when you lose a person, no matter what the relationship you had, when it's a parent, whether it was good or bad, it's going to, that passing is going to affect you in some capacity.
See, I think the fear also is that, and let's get ahead of this for just one second, okay? Yeah. So let's say he does have his own relationship with his father and the brother does spiral, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is he going to now struggle with feeling responsible that the brother spiraled also?
You're talking about who is he?
I think that's she.
She. Okay, I was going to be there.
I'm sorry.
Person. Possibly, but you know, the thing, I want to leave this person with two things. So one, when things are complicated, like you said, there's so many layers. Forgive, like, you're grieving not just your dad, but, like, the relationship you wish you would have had and the forgiveness and the come to Jesus moment that you wish you would have had. But, like, you have to stay in the moment because this is such a jumbled ball of mess that if you start projecting too far in the future, it's going to feel too heavy. You have what it takes to get through this moment, so do that and do that well. But when you start trying to, like, figure out and project, like, into the future, it may be a moot point. Don't do that.
Okay.
To yourself.
Look at you.
I think it's solid advice.
Look at you.
And you didn't bring the show down.
That's right. And go check out the book by Harriet Lerner called Why Don't You Apologize? Something like that. But it's really good. It's
by Harriet Lerner?
Yes.
This is Miranda Campbell. Yeah, she's a licensed therapist. You can tell by just listening. She's not one of us. Port Counseling
God.
Girl. I know, right? PortCG.com. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
The Barbie movie is finally coming to streaming services.
I feel like it was fast.
It came out on July 21st, and as of September 5th, you will be able to pre-order it on Amazon Prime, Vudu, and Apple TV. The only thing is, you got to buy it. So on Prime, you'll be able to pre-order it for $19, okay, which is a steal compared to Apple TV and Vudu, where you're selling it for $24.99.
Yeah. Okay, so it's not streaming for free. It's streaming to where you can purchase it.
But if you have enough patience and you wait until the end of October, it is supposedly supposed to come out on Max, so you'll be able to watch the Barbie movie for free-ish. You know, you still have to pay for the streaming service. But very exciting news, because I know we love the Barbie movie.
I don't know why the prices always seem so high when they tell you that you're streaming a movie, because if you go to the movies to see it, you pay $1,000. So like $20 to stream it shouldn't feel that bad.
And you own it.
Exactly.
You can watch it as much as you want whenever you want.
Unless you're just renting it for that price.
Oh, is that just for
no?
You're pre-ordering. Okay,
I would pay all day, every day. I would pay up to $40 to stream a movie just to save me from having to get a babysitter and go to the movie theater. I think it is Brilliant. I don't have to leave my house. I don't have to pay for popcorn. Give it to me.
Exactly. And you get to be on the comfort of your own home. You don't have to leave and be around other people.
I don't have to wear a bra. Like, win, 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 win.
Why you need a babysitter? Just go to the movie. They can take care of themselves now.
Oh, that's right. I'll just lock them in their rooms. It'll be fine, I'm
take
sure.
Take the kid. People are doing that all the time these days.
Oh, yeah.
Bringing babies to movie theaters.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. I'm learning so much. You know I'm going to do that. And then I'm going to give her a phone and put Uncle Bert on speed dial so you can deal with it if anything goes wrong.
Sorry, I gave my phone up months ago.
Okay, who is going to perform at the Super Bowl halftime show this year? We just talked about this in the previous E-Buzz because rumors have been going around. People are like, who's it going to be? Who's going to follow Rihanna? And according to a recent survey, the top choice for almost all the age groups except for millennials, they wanted Taylor Swift by a landslide. She turned it down. She's like, I don't need it. I'm Taylor Swift.
honestly, I think I'm a little Taylor Swifted out. She's doing her tour and she's crushing it. I think she focused. Should she do a Super Bowl in the future? Yes. Should it be 2024? I don't think so.
No, she doesn't need it because you have to fund this performance on your own.
Yeah.
So you have to pick an artist that's big enough to where people are excited about it, but you also have to pick somebody who knows that the exposure would be good for them. Whereas, like, you log on to TikTok and you see Beyonce and Taylor Swift all day.
Yeah, I heard Lizzo was in the running, but then got pulled because of the... because of the charges.
The controversy.
Same thing. Yeah.
What a bummer for her. Well, so the other top choices are Adele. She's turned it down before.
I love her.
Nah,
no.
Not
absolutely.
For Super Bowl.
You wouldn't want to see Adele at the Super Bowl?
No.
Not for Super Bowl.
Not for Super Bowl.
No.
I feel like she's kind of at a really good place in her career where she also kind of has that social media TikTok fame where people are posting clips from her residency in Las Vegas. Mm. I could see it.
I need a mover and a shaker.
Yeah, the players will be in the locker room sleep. Wouldn't be in the second half.
The other top choices are Justin Bieber, who I feel like we haven't really heard from in a long time, Elton John, Drake. Harry Styles wasn't on the list, but I think Harry Styles would crush it. I just don't think he needs the Super Bowl. And one of the other wild cards that was out there, Doja Cat, which I think she's losing fans by the second. I'm not sure anybody would show up.
No, I'm not into any of
that. Of that list, though, if that was the only options, who would you take?
Probably Drake for me. Yeah, I don't think Drake could put on a good Super Bowl halftime show.
I think he would. My pick would be Harry Styles, though, honestly.
I think he would, but I'm not a fan of Drake.
I got it.
It's just not my, yeah.
I feel like they're going to swing rock. Like Foo Fighters, Red Hot Chili Peppers. Ooh. They were a guest with Bruno Mars, but I don't think they've headlined. Because that's the only way, like, those are all great artists, but I feel like they're kind of tapped out for headliners who would really appeal to everyone. And I think when that happens, you go like early 2000s bands kind of thing.
I would be so down for the Foo Fighters. Mm-hmm. That would be an incredible halftime show.
What if Rihanna just called back and said, okay, I'm not pregnant now, I can do it again?
No. I
looked at the film, I don't really like it. My performance, so I'm coming back.
She should do that and be pregnant again by February.
Has Blink-182 already done the Super Bowl? I could see them doing it. Like, Kris Jenner, I feel like, could work that. No?
I feel like Foo Fighters could do it and Blink-182 could have, like, a...
yes.
Like a
guest.
Yes, a guest moment. Appearance.
How about Hanson?
I'm sorry, who?
Hanson.
Yeah.
Do you not know Hanson. Who that is for real?
I feel like I've heard of them.
Oh,
but
come on. Shut your mouth hole.
They have, like, back in the day, they had, like, the long brown hair, right?
Yeah. Blonde.
Yeah.
Blonde.
You're 26,
tomato,
right?
Tomato.
Do you know, you don't know Mbop?
Mbop.
They sound better than
Hey,
yeah. For more stories, head to thebirdshow.com.
How do you not know Hanson? They're national treasures.
What song would I know?
That's the only one.
They're not national treasures if they have one good song.
The Bird Show.
It's a crazy-ass world we live in right now.
Okay.
I think about how ironic it is that you could be getting life advice soon from something that has never been alive. So Google is working with AI right now on life coaches.
AI life coaches?
AI life
coaches.
Who
have technically never experienced life?
Never experienced life. You would use their AI life coach to guide you through your daily, monthly, yearly goals. And you would work with your AI coach every day.
So
who's
now,
never lived a day in their life.
So that means the robots... will be programming us.
What?
Instead of us programming the robots.
Only a couple hours till 4:20, bro.
I don't hate it.
I bet.
Well, What is that supposed to mean?
I mean, why spend money on a therapist and all that? We just go to your AI coach.
Well, think about it. They are so smart. They literally could collect data from millions and millions of people over the years and actually summarize what is best for humans and what's not. It might not apply to you, but like...
But wouldn't you have to have like one-on-one conversations and get to know a person, what their motivations are, what inspires them, what their fears are to be a really great life coach? And AI can't do that.
But it will be able to. I think people kind of think of AI as just kind of a chatbot. But the more info it gets input, the more it learns. And it can start to develop, understand nuances and cultural changes and expectations. We're not there yet, but... That's going to be AI, like when it's going to be fully functioning and like fully up and running and it's learned as much, it'll be like talking to another human.
I'd really like to be dead when that happens. I don't want to be alive during that.
Don't worry, you will be.
I keep working with you. It's going to be sooner than later.
All right, we call it Follow-Up Thursday for a reason. You guys hit us up and remind us about Burt Show storylines that we haven't closed yet for you. And in this case, it was Shauna Matthews. Hey, Burt Show, my name is Shauna. Hey, Shauna. Love your show. Was wondering if there's any follow-up to the woman who contacted you all asking for advice regarding her husband going to his high school reunion without telling her. I'm curious what happened after she confronted him. Did he meet up with his high school sweetheart? Was he embarrassed about taking her? Or was there some other reason he didn't tell her about his own high school reunion?
I'm sorry, but we can't help Shauna out and fulfill her request.
She has an AOL account?
Yes!
I saw that.
We don't take requests from AOL email addresses. Sorry.
We were at this convention over the weekend, and they were referring to somebody that had an AOL account, and I actually thought, you know what? I might change mine to AOL because I think it's kind of retro and funny.
Yeah, it's so vintage now. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, but if you've got Hotmail or Yahoo...
Yahoo's my spam. Like that's where all the emails that I don't need go to die.
Yahoo.
Man. But you gotta say it right. Yahoo. We have lost our minds.
Yep.
All right, here we go. The original story, again, aired May of this year. Her husband told her that he was planning to go on a guy's trip, in quotes, with some friends from high school. Days after his trip, she discovered on social media that he lied. He did not attend a guy's trip. He attended his high school reunion in his hometown. Even after his trip, he never mentioned going to his high school reunion. She was concerned because why would he keep it a secret? Was he afraid she would find out about another woman? Was he embarrassed to take her? We all agreed she should confront him. So did she.
Well, it seemed everyone thought I should just be direct and ask him about it. I told him how I discovered the reunion and showed him the picture I found. I emphasized that what bothered me wasn't him attending the reunion, but the fact that he hadn't been upfront about it. He seemed shocked that I knew. He admitted that he did go to the reunion. Not sure how he could deny it. But that it wasn't planned. He swears that the initial plan was just a guys' weekend with some high school buddies. They had all gathered at one of their friends' homes and were having a good time. He said one of the guys convinced them to go. He said it was spontaneous and it was more like they were crashing it rather than attending it since they hadn't RSVP'd. Mm-hmm. He said he didn't tell me because he thought I might feel left out or upset that he went without me. I had no choice but to let it all go. I don't know if his explanation made any sense. I still don't like it, and thinking about it makes me uncomfortable. However, other than this awkward situation, I have no other reason to doubt him. So I've just decided to forget it and not think about it. There's really nothing else I can do.
So riddle me this. He has having a guy. So why are you looking at me like that, Mo?
No. No reason.
So let's replay this in a different scenario. He's there at his friend's house. And what he's saying is truthful, right? Like, they didn't even realize it. The reunion's happening. They're going to go crash it. Would it not be, I don't know, acceptable for him in that moment to text his girlfriend and be like, hey, having a good guys weekend. Turns out our high school reunion is going on and we're going to go crash it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in that, like, at that specific moment.
Mm-hmm.
Would that not be an acceptable thing to do? Because he hid it for a reason, because he thought she would be hurt that she wasn't invited. So if you're already thinking like that, why not hit her up? Hey, oh my gosh, high school reunions this weekend. We're all here. We're going to crash it.
Mm-hmm.
That makes perfect sense. And I really think the only reason he didn't do that is because he's lying.
Okay.
Okay, there you go.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, I'm with Mom.
Yeah, you're right. That's how you should have handled it.
Because I know how we talk about you want to have independence in your relationship and you don't want to feel controlled. So would it be like you feel like you're being controlled that you have to text somebody while you're away, your plans and what you were doing?
Yeah, this is the kind of thinking that makes me feel like a relationship would be insufferable. Because I think Cassie even mentioned this at one point. Like she, when she first started dating Chad, she was out at a bar and said, oh, I'm going to be at XYZ bar. But then when they changed to ABC bar, she didn't think, oh, I need to text him and tell him out later. Mm-hmm. To me, this is kind of the same situation.
Here's another novel idea.
Okay.
What if after he gets back from his guy's trip and she's like, hey, how'd the weekend go? He was like, great. By the way, our reunion was happening and we decided to crash it while I was there.
Mm-hmm.
You could have done that.
Yeah.
Well, it would come up.
Right.
For sure.
But as Mo said, he was lying, so he didn't.
There's that part.
Yeah.
There,
solved.
Okay.
Yeah. Solved.
Mystery solved.
Listen. It's the Burt Show.
So it was a few weeks ago. This is still pretty startling, man. We now have confirmation, even though we've sort of felt it in our gut, that aliens have landed in the United States of America and all around the world. And they got folks that are actually working with the aliens. I mean, they've dissected them. Who knows where they are? But it's a reality now.
What's the terminology they're using, Cassie? Because they're not calling them aliens. Because they said they have aircraft and they have bodies of what?
Extra dimensional. They're using biologics is what it is, because the whole thing is they might not be from space. They may be from an alternate dimension instead. So technically calling them an alien or an extraterrestrial is not correct. So they call them non-human biologics.
They're also using the acronym UAPs instead of UFOs, which was the other one I remember.
Okay. Unidentified aerial phenomena, though I think the P's been updated to something else now.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
Yeah,
anyway,
it's a lot.
You don't want to offend the aliens by calling
them
aliens.
They're not aliens.
What, exactly. They'd be really upset.
They're non-human biologics.
You don't want to piss them off not knowing what their capabilities are. So okay. With that, Kristen had an idea.
So listen, I'm one of those people that you see in the memes that are circulating that I really honestly... don't care about the aliens.
What?
I feel like we got a lot of stuff going on down here.
What?
And I'm just, it's
so much more interesting to read about this than the other crap going on in the world.
You would think, but I in all sincerity, I don't really care about the aliens. But I figure since this, everybody else in here was super stoked about the aliens, that I'm like, all right, so they're here. We know they're here. Congress has confirmed that. So you run into an alien.
Mm-hmm.
Alien lands, knocks on your door, and says, hey, I would like you to show me around your place.
Mm-hmm.
What's the first thing you're going to do with your alien?
Okay, I would like to go first.
Okay.
And I will tell you why. In full disclosure, I completely forgot about this list, even though I did it when you told me to. But I had forgot to do it all day long. And when I finally got to it, I'm just going to be honest with you guys. I was super high in Delta 8.
Ain't no wrong with it.
Which is totally legal.
So you're going to do Delta 8 with your alien?
No, I didn't put that on the list. But now that I'm looking at the list, I was definitely high.
Did you put Claremont Lounge and Pink Pony?
I did not. For whatever reason, I thought it'd be really funny to take an alien to a Dragon Con or a Comic Con.
Oh.
Okay.
Because their first time on Earth, they're like, what the hell is all this?
That makes a lot of sense.
Okay. I also thought it would be really cool to take them to Dollywood.
Oh, okay.
I wanted to play pickleball with my alien.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Do you want them to destroy the planet? Is that what I'm hearing?
Why? What's wrong with that? Pickleball is a very...
Okay.
They're going to be so intrigued by everything Earth has to offer.
They have the technology to travel either between dimensions or across light years, but pickleball is what's going to get them.
Pickleball is hell playing pickleball.
I, for whatever reason, thought taking them monster trucks would be really fun.
You were so high when you put this list together.
Renaissance Fair?
I'm picturing an alien holding a giant turkey drumstick.
Well, I kind of went there with my last one. I don't know where this came from. I don't even really remember writing it. I would take my alien, or I would make my alien wear a bolo tie while eating a corn dog or sprayed canned cheese.
What?
What?
Oh, he was deep in that Delta 8 by that point.
You were tripping. I honestly don't know if we need to go through anybody else's list.
I mean, I pretty much got them all covered.
You really did.
Nailed it. Mm-hmm.
All right, Mo, what are you going to do with your alien?
I want to take him to an amusement park just because I want to see him get on a roller coaster and see if they react like, really?
This is nothing.
Like, what is this? Yeah. To the studio, because I have to be the first artist to have an alien featured on a record.
Ah.
I feel like that would be fly. And lastly, I said I would take him to the Cowboys game. And also hope that they can play quarterback. Then maybe they can help us win some games.
So I would use mine as a ploy to meet all my favorite celebrities.
Oh my God.
So I would turn into like a mommy blogger. Like I'm going to start an Instagram account for my alien and make it the first extra dimensional influencer. And then I'll take it to little restaurants. I'll put it in little outfits. And then all my favorite celebrities are going to see it and be like, oh my gosh, what can money not buy? An alien. And they'll all want to meet me because they'll be like, I want to be friends with Abby and her cool alien friend.
Oh, wow. That's a good Entertainment Buzz reporter right there.
That is.
That's living it.
I'm nothing if not on brand.
That's living the lifestyle.
I did a very different take from you guys. I'm going to take my aliens to see beautiful views like the mountains in Jasper, Canada, the beaches in Fiji,
boring,
the northern lights in Norway. Then we're going to look at human achievement stuff like the Taj Mahal or go to the Louvre and see the Sistine Chapel. And then we're going to go see the bad parts like the largest slum in Pakistan, Chernobyl, the homeless population in LA, a cancer ward, the Great Pacific Garbage Patch, because they will have seen all the beautiful parts. And when I end on the sad stuff, they're going to help us fix it all.
I feel like we have to do
so bad now.
I feel like we have to do everything we can to make sure that you don't get the alien.
Yeah.
Why? That's a great. You want Abby wants to dress it in influencer outfits and take it to restaurants. You want to play
this,
pickleball.
You're going
to
take this alien to a museum or see the northern lights where who knows where they came from. The northern lights is probably nothing to them.
Or maybe it's everything. Maybe their like ugly planet is an ugly barren rock and this
Chernobyl.
Is the most beautiful thing they've ever seen.
No, so I was going to do the same thing with my alien.
You're going to take him to all beautiful.
No. I wasn't going to take him to the beautiful parts. I was literally only going to take them to like the Fatberg in the ocean and be like, how can we I was going to take the alien to all our problem areas to see if they could figure out how to fix it.
No, you put him in a bolo tie and you take him to monster trucks.
Thanks for listening. Get more Burt Show fix at thebirdshow.com or follow us on social media at The Burt Show.